Don't you just love him today? We were talking about in Sunday school, you know, let's be honest. I'm not going to dwell there today, don't worry, but it's a dark world we're living in. It's a tough environment that we live in. But our God is the same yesterday, today, forever. There's no reason to be troubled. You know, really, and I've convicted myself with this, or this has convicted me, that when I worry, that's a moment of faithlessness, you know. We need to just cling to God today. In all the problems, all the things we have to go through, the suffering, cling to Him. And we're going to make it through. Amen. If you have your Bibles, please turn to the book of Romans. Romans chapter 5. You probably knew that from the bulletin. I'm just confirming it for you. Romans chapter 5. We're going to look at just a few verses. Romans 5, verses 6 through 8. And I want to talk about this morning what Sandy and I sang about. What a coincidence, huh? Not really. I kind of planned it that way. Have you ever gone to a jewelry store and asked to see something nice, you know, in those big glass cases they have? Have you ever picked something out? You know what they do? Let's say the jewelry store lady will come over to you. She'll unlock the case, remember? And then she'll pull out what you wanted. But before you can really examine it, you know what they do? Yeah. The guy says, I'll take that one. And she says, no, I'll take that one. But irregardless of that, she'll put down a real dark, maybe a black cloth or a pad. And then she'll put this pretty little thing on there, whether it be a diamond ring, a golden bracelet, etc. There is a reason why they do that. I remember way back when, as my grandparents would say, 1981. And Sandy and I were about to get married, and we went. Actually, I knew a friend of a friend of a friend that sold diamonds, just single diamonds, okay? And a friend of mine said, that's the way to do it. That's the way to do it. Just buy the diamond and then have it set in a setting, you know? That's the way to do it. So, okay, I'll see him. So I met this guy. He brought in these diamonds. And he had one. It wasn't all that big. Sandy's wearing it on her hand today. It's not all that big. But the guy said it was flawless. It was flawless. It was beautiful. But you know what he did? He handed it to me in this clear, you know, those little ring boxes, this clear plastic. And you opened it, and this one diamond was sitting on a piece of black plastic, and they had cut out a little divot for the diamond to sit in. So what did you see? You'd open it up and you'd see this black plastic, and right in the middle was a sparkling, beautiful, flawless diamond. It was like a star in a black sky, and it was flawless. It was beautiful. But why does the lady in the jewelry store do that? Put it on the black cloth. Why does this jeweler sell me this diamond that's surrounded by darkness, by black? Because the holiness of God is like that. We see His goodness. And I want to talk about the love of God. We need to try to grasp what little of the love of God we can understand today. But it's seen more clearly, the love of God, when it is seen against the background, the black background of the sin of man. You know, in a very real way, it's impossible to explain the love of God. And I like that, because God is so big. A.W. Tozer said this about God's love, as he struggled with it, just as we may be today. And I want to quote him. He said this. He said, I can no more do justice to this awesome and wonder-filled topic than a child can grasp a star. Still, he said, by reaching toward the star, the child may call attention to it and even indicate the direction one must look to see it. And so, he said, I stretch my heart toward the high, shining love of God so that we may be encouraged to look up and to have hope. That's what we're going to try to do this morning. We're going to try to look up and see the love of God. And God's love is the supreme expression of His goodness today. And when we think about it, and I do think about it a lot, God's love for us is the reason we exist. It's the only reason why we're here. His power is the how of creation, and His love is the why of creation. But love demands an object, and we are that object. Love flows from God like a pure river of grace and mercy. And so this is the impossible task we're going to try to do today, is to understand more fully the love of God. In the New Testament, there are three primary words for love. The first one is eros, the Greek word eros, and it means romantic love. Another Greek word, philia, means brotherly love, and agape is the God kind of love. It means unconditional love. It's the purest. It's the most amazing. And we know that our society is fixated on the romantic type of love and the brotherly type of love to some degree. But God's love, the agape, is the deepest and purest, and it's the most unconditional kind. And if we were to do a Bing study today on our personal computers, and we wanted to find biblical results for love, we would come up with over 550 references. And here's only a few I wanted to share this morning. Psalm 63:3 says, because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. Zephaniah 3:17, one of my favorites. The Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He will take great delight. God takes delight in you. He will quiet you with His love. He will rejoice over you with singing. Another good one. 1 John 3:1 says, how great is the love of the Father has let, excuse me, how great is the love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called the children of God, and that is what we are. We're the children of God. He lavishes love on us, but why? And of course, we can't talk about this without bringing up John 3:16. If you all know it, I know you do, most of you, say it with me. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. One of my very favorite verses, the love of God. He loved us so much that He gave. So what is it? How can we define the love of God? Human love is generally a response, isn't it? Remember the first time you loved someone, it was a response to someone that maybe they loved you too, or that they did something that was pleasing to you. Maybe they made you laugh. But we respond. But God's love, He loves us because that's just the kind of God He is. It's hard to explain, isn't it? There's nothing in us that causes Him to love us. We are not all that, you know. We're not all that in a bag of chips. We are not. On this subject of God's love, one of the clearest passages in the Bible is what our text is today. Romans 5:6-8. Follow with me as I read this. It says, you see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Paul here is keying in on the death of Jesus Christ, and specifically the fact that Jesus was willing to die for us, and that this death is the supreme manifestation of the love of God. Now, there are four truths that I want to go through quickly here about what we just read. First of all, it says in verse 6 that we were powerless. Just the right time when we were still powerless. Powerless means we can't change our basic nature on our own. Has anyone experienced that before? We have trouble changing ourselves. This word powerless is in the New Testament usually reserved for feeble people, people that are sick or wiped out by some kind of disease. Powerless. And the disease we have is sin, isn't it? That's our disease. And we were born in it at birth. We have that sin nature in us. We were powerless. Also, verse 6, number 2 says that the word godly is here. Christ died for the ungodly. Ungodly. What does that mean? It means that we don't have any desire to change. He died for us when we had no desire to change in the first place. In other words, we are not only helpless or powerless, but also we're vile, we're obnoxious, we're irreverent. Thirdly, it says in verse 8 that we are sinners. We're still sinners. God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. We were desperately in need of change that we couldn't make on our own. We didn't even want to make it. We were not righteous. We were not good when Christ died for us. We totally missed the mark. That's what sin means. The word sin means that we have missed the mark. We've fallen short. Fourthly, it says in verse 10, that we were enemies of God. How many people want to be the enemy of God? I don't want to be the enemy of God. But that's what we were. We were powerless, ungodly, sinning, and we were enemies of God. And Ephesians 2 and 3 adds to this idea by saying we were by nature the object of God's wrath. The truth is, we have rebelled against God's commands, broken his moral law, and acted in total defiance. And you may be thinking right now, well, gee whiz, Pastor, you're kind of hard on us today, aren't you? Ungodly, powerless. You're hitting us pretty hard this morning. First of all, I'm only saying what the Bible says. Secondly, we don't have any claim on his love because we don't deserve his love. Thirdly, there is no reason for God to love us. Sin has so infected our lives that a lot of times we're actually blind to it. It has distorted even the parts of us that we think are lovely. Sin has. Let me say it this way. Sin uglifies us. Everything it touches, it uglifies. But mainly, the main reason I'm hitting this so hard about our unworthiness this morning is because our true sinfulness, our depravity, our dirtiness helps us see the depth of God's love for us. Why would he do such a thing? You see, we are that black cloth that the jeweler puts down first, that we see the beauty of Christ on top of. We are that black piece of plastic, that backdrop that the diamond is set in. We are that multifaceted, flawless, and perfect diamond. that multifaceted, flawless, perfect God. We are the background that is dark. We see His sparkling countenance as He loves us. Oh, if that isn't love, the ocean is dry. Let's look at verse number 7 together. It says, "Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man someone might possibly dare to die." Now, you don't have to say this out loud. Please don't, as a matter of fact. But how many people would you really die for? Have you ever thought of that? Possibly just a few, maybe a handful. But you see, God isn't like that. He was willing to die for all. And we hear of soldiers, you know, in wartime that will throw themselves on a grenade to save a few of their comrades. But God goes far beyond that. In verse 8 it says, "But God demonstrates His own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." And the emphasis here is still being a sinner. We were still sinners. We were still ugly by sin. We were still ungodly. We were still rebellious. We were still enemies of God. We were still all that, but He died while we were powerless and ungodly. He died for those who crucified Him. Do you remember what He said on the cross? "Forgive those who've done this to me." How much is the love of God? We must go to the cross this morning, don't we? We must understand by what Christ did how much He loves us. He loves us that much, isn't it? As they nailed His hands and feet to the cross, Christ loves us that much. And biblical love like that demands a reaction. Remember John 3:16, we just said, God so loved the world that He gave. The action of the love was giving. How are we to respond to this love? That's one of the best ways to understand God's love better, is to respond to it the way He wants us to respond to it. First of all, we are to love God back, aren't we? I see a lot of men and women in this church that love, that are loving God back. They are paying it forward. We are to love others. 1 John 4:11, "Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another." Pay it forward. We are to love, here's a good one, we are to love ourselves. And I know I'm talking to someone here today. To love ourselves. God loves and accepts you. There's no reason to dislike yourself. You have tremendous value to God. He has invested so much in you. Don't hate yourself. Realize who you are in God. You are His. You're created in His image. And we are to love our enemies. They are created in the image of God also. Matthew 5:44. "Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." How do we respond to the love of God? We respond by loving Him, by loving others, by loving ourselves. And a lot of times, as I say, we're on board with a lot of that except for ourselves. You need to come out of the dark and realize that God wants you to love yourself. You are His creature. You are so important. There is a story about a comparative religious conference going on. Say that a few times fast. Comparative religious conference. And there was a spirited debate about what was so unique about Christianity. and there was many theologians together, and they were talking about, they were comparing other religions, and they were saying, what is so special about Christianity? Well, someone said, it's the incarnation of Christ. However, someone else added, actually other religions have that same teaching, believe that God appears in human form. Well, someone else said, well, how about the fact that there was the resurrection? That death is not the final word anymore, that the tomb was empty. But then others said, well, to be honest, other religions have accounts of people coming back from the dead. Then, as the story goes, C.S. Lewis, that great theologian of another generation, walks in the room. His arms were full of papers. He was a little early for his presentation. And he asked during a lull in the debate that was now becoming rather heated, he said, what's all the rumpus about? And they told him. And they were debating about the uniqueness of Christianity. And he said, oh, well, that's easy. He said, it's grace. That's the difference. Grace. The room fell silent, the story goes, as Lewis continued that Christianity uniquely claims that God's love comes free of charge. God's love has no strings attached. No other religions make that claim. Everyone just kind of looked at each other and finally concluded that Lewis was right. Only Christianity dares to proclaim God's love is unconditional. An unconditional love that we call grace. As A.W. Tozer said, we can't grasp it. We can stretch, we can reach, we can hope, we can try to get what God's love is, but it's out of our reach. But it's real. And He loves you, and He loves me. And He is willing for us to live in that love of God today. And I just think that sometimes we don't realize that. We don't dwell on the fact that God's love is the reason for everything we see. He spoke it into existence. He formed us. He is our Father. And we owe Him everything. And while we can't grasp it, we can appreciate it. We can study it. We can live because of it. We can correct ourselves. We can live Christ. We can live the love. He can shine. John says that He came as a great light to shine into the darkness. And all we can do is reflect that light. That's our greatest thing we can do. Reflect the life of the light of Christ in our hearts. I'm going to ask you all to bow your heads for just a moment. And I just want to say this morning quickly and simply that if you're living outside of the love of God, if that has not penetrated you, if you just think it's so deep, you can't even go there, we need to go there. We need to appreciate God. And just like the prayer that the disciples were to pray, we start with loving God. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. We elevate God because He loves us so much. And I just want to ask you today, as every head is bowed, I just feel that so many people are not open to the love of God today because they don't love themselves. If you have a struggle with that today, I want you to raise your hand right now. Yes. Yes. That's right. I see many hands here today. We have let our enemy beat us down and take from us what is ours, our heritage. We are farmed in God because He loves us. We are created by Him. Let's all pray together this morning. Oh Lord, we just love You so much. But yet our love is so small compared to Your love for us. And while we sing about it, what we speak about it and preach about it and look to verses in the Bible about it, Lord, it is still a mystery. But Lord, today, by seeing who we are and being honest from Your word about what we have done, how we have neglected You, it helps us to see just how amazing You are. And right now, Lord, as we end this sermon, it's just a beginning that we are going to see you as You see us, and see ourselves as You see us. We're going to elevate You, God, with all we have. We're going to thank You and worship You every day. And we're going to let that love that You have for us penetrate us and realize that we have not strayed too far. We have not done too much that You will ever take Your love for us away. No, God, we just want to be Yours. Help us to recognize. Help us to wash off the dirt of this world that tells us we're no good, that tells us we've done too much to ever be accepted by You. That's a lie from the pit of hell. But we're going to turn from that, and we're going to look to You. And we're going to be like that child that is reaching up towards that glimmering star, that beautiful, sparkling star. And as we reach, Lord, we're a little bit closer to You. We're a little bit closer to understanding. We're a little bit closer to grasping what You have for us today. And Lord, I pray today, Lord, as we go from this place, as we minister to You, Lord, as we welcome You into our lives, God, that we will have a renewed appreciation for all that You've done for us. You've taken all of us from the miry clay of this world, and You placed us on a rock, which is Christ Jesus. And we thank You, God. And we worship, we adore You, Lord. And we honor You today, God. And we thank You for Your love that changes everything about our life. Help us to grow in that. In Jesus' name, I pray. Everybody in this house says, Amen.